Dear congregation, let us now turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, the chapter 32, the 32nd chapter, reading from the verse 1 to the verse 8. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear the word of the living God. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to the bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. May the Lord bless his holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. May he do so for the glory of his holy name and for the everlasting good of our never-dying souls. We ask that the Lord might speak to us plainly through his word this night for the glory of his name and for the good of our souls. Congregation, turning your prayerful attention once again to the words of Holy Scripture that I read in your hearing, the words in the 32nd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 32, and I take the verse 1 and 2 as my text this evening. Profound, sublime words of Almighty God. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And this evening, with the Lord's gracious guiding and enabling, I pray that he may help me to expound his word to the profit, to the benefit of our souls. And may the Lord be pleased to save sinners and draw them to this man with which verse 2 refers to. We read, and a man shall be as an hiding place. This evening, as we gather here to worship, there may be some, I'm very mindful amongst us, that might be asking, why would there need to be a hiding place? And why should a man be as an hiding place? In the Old Testament, it is very clear that God's people always trusted the Lord as the hiding place. The Lord was their hiding place. And again, you might be asking this night, why do sinners need a hiding place? Well, I take you just for a moment to the book of the Revelation, the chapter 6, and the verse 15 we read, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And this is why, dear friends, there is a need for sinners to have a hiding place. For the wrath of God is coming, and it will not be before long. The Lord has said that He is coming. He is coming quickly. And He shall come as a thief in the night. And moreover, when we die, the body goes to the grave, and the spirit goes to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12 and the verse 7. And when we die, if we die without faith in this man who is a hiding place, we go to a place reserved before that judgment day, and it is outer darkness. It is a place where all lost souls go that have no hope. It's not a place called purgatory. No such place exists. But it is a place reserved for the damned. And in that day, there will be no hiding place. The secrets of the hearts of all men shall be revealed. And the books will be opened. And everything that we've ever said and done in our lives will be revealed before all men. And we shall be judged according to our works. And the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, and that is not only a physical death, but the second death, to be cast away from the presence of God, from all that is good, from all that is God, and to perish everlastingly. It is a place for the damned. It is the place where the devil and all the fallen angels go. It is a place of no hope. And this is why I want to address you this night concerning this man who is a hiding place. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that he is also called a king. If you notice in the verse 1, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Now we know from history that this cannot mean King Hezekiah. It cannot. Although he was a goodly king, although he was a wise king, he was indeed a sinner, as we all are. But this is one who could say that he is mighty to save. "I that speak in righteousness, who art mighty to save." And this is why he is mighty to save, because he is righteous. And you notice here, a king shall reign in righteousness, not our standard of righteousness, but God's standard. And he would come and live in this world. And he is now king in heaven. Revelation, we read that he was caught up to heaven and is now sat upon that throne. So it does not speak of a mere man, but Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, who is the King of his people, the judge of all the earth. And here, Isaiah is speaking. And this is a prophecy 700 years at least before the coming of the Lord Jesus. And he is pointing towards him, as did the other prophets. In Jeremiah 23, the verse 5, we have these words, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice." The prophets spoke of him, and he came in the fullness of time. And we are told here, the verse 2, that he is a man. "And a man shall be as an hiding place." Now, as I said at the outset, this might seem very strange to the Jews in his day as this was written, because, as I said, only God was known to be as a hiding place. This seemed rather bizarre, perhaps, to the Jews, for a man to be a hiding place. Let me show you the Psalm 32 in the verse 7. Here David is writing, and the Jews no doubt would be familiar with this. "Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, He's there speaking of God. And again in the Psalm 119 in the verse 114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." They're referring, of course, to God. God has been our hiding place. In fact, probably the oldest psalm written by Moses, Psalm 90. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations, from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God." And so this would be strange to the Jew. But God was manifest in the flesh. He came into this world. God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. God, you see, in order to save sinners, had to take on human flesh in order to bear away sin, in order to take the penalty of his people. God had to become the second Adam. By Adam, we fail. But by Jesus Christ, we rise. It's no small thing. It is true, and we know this. We fell by imputation. Adam's sin was imputed to us, but moreover, we have his nature, we have his character. All that Adam was, we are. But all that Jesus Christ is, God's people are. We rise by imputation. Our sins, if we are his people, are imputed to him, were imputed to him. And he paid the penalty, the wrath for those sins. Paul would write, "Who can bring a charge against God's elect? For Christ has died." But moreover, the Lord Jesus Christ in Jeremiah 23 is called the Lord, our righteousness. He came into this world and wove a righteousness for his people. He wove a robe of righteousness. For 30 years he lived as the carpenter's son, living a life of relative obscurity, and wove that robe of perfect, spotless righteousness for his people. He came earning a righteousness for all those years that he might give it to all who believe upon him. Why? For none are righteous. No, not one. This is why we need the Lord Jesus as our righteousness, because there will come a day when every creature, every man, every boy, every girl, every child will stand before God, the great white throne, and the books will be opened up. And if we do not have God's righteousness, we will be condemned forever. If our sins have not been paid for and met, God will mete them out upon our never-dying souls. Firstly, "And a man shall be in hiding place," notice, "from the wind." And I want to speak about him, first of all, in terms of the wind. What is this wind? Well, I can show you, I trust, from the Word of God, that this means, first of all, the winds of the adversities of this life. We'll speak about the tempest in a moment, God's awful tempest that shall fall. But he is indeed our hiding place from the winds and the adversities of this present life. Many times in the Psalms, we read of trials referred to as winds, as storms. For instance, in Psalm 55 and the verse 3, David here is speaking of his enemies that are assailing, attack upon him, and many other things. And he says this, "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." That's the context. And then we come down to the verse 8. He says, "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm." From the windy storm. Christians experience the storms of life. And God often uses these things. Well, we know he does. He orders all things. He was absolutely sovereign over everything, even allowing unkind people to rival against us. God uses those afflictions from the world from enemies to improve us. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. James says, we count them happy that endure, because through the trial, God refines his people as gold, and he perfects them. And he is our shelter through the storms of life. Speak to any Christian. They have no regrets. They hide in him every day. They love him. He is their strong tower. This is the Lord. The Lord who was in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ, who Stephen, when he writes in Acts 7:38, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers, who received the lively oracles given unto us. The Lord Jesus has always been. He's been the leader of his people. He has been their hiding place through the storms of life. He is their comfort. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:4, he says, that spiritual rock that followed them, that rock, he says, was Christ, the Lord Jesus. You see, God the Father does not deal with his people apart from his Son, the Lord Jesus. Remember, as he looked down upon that ladder there at Bethel, at Jacob, God the Father, we're told, was looking down and said to Jacob, I will be with thee. And remember what Jacob said, lo, God is in this place, and I never knew it. And the Lord Jesus tells us in John 1 that Christ was that ladder that went up to heaven. He is with us. We have access to the Father by him. We always have. But it's only been revealed when he came, who he was. He came in the fullness of time, and he is our rock. In Psalm 27, the verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, shall he set me up upon a rock. The Lord is our hiding place, he is our rock. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian and to know God through the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our rock through the adversities of this life. We know we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and we can always run to him. He never refuses us in this life. Solomon knew the Lord. He was the one that wrote those words, penned, of course, through the Holy Spirit. And we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you not think Solomon knew? Oh, he did. He knew there was a mediator. He knew that God would send and put one upon that throne, even the Lord Jesus. But you see, God became man. And during his earthly ministry, he proved to be that great shelter. Many came to the Lord Jesus, many wearied. Many people who were outcasts, worn, they came to him, and he refused them not. He receiveth sinners. Yes. He is the friend of sinners. He has not come to call the righteous. He is the hiding place for those who would have shelter in him. He never forsook his people. Remember when his disciples saw many of the other disciples walk away and follow him no more in John chapter 6. What did his disciples say? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus is the one who deals with us and has words of mercy and life. He said this too, and we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who will give his people shelter. He stood by his people when all others would forsake, and a man shall be a hiding place. This is true for the Christian, and I appeal to those who are lost here tonight. You ask them who is their best friend. It is the Lord. The Lord who never casts them away. The Lord who is always there, even though they may sin against Him, they can call upon Him, and He is ever near. The Lord who is our rock. We have that wonderful hymn, O safe to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrows should fly. So sinful, so weary, thine, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Thou rock of my soul. He is our hiding place. Secondly, you notice he is a covet. Now, it's in the noun form here, not the adjective. It looks like covert, but it's covet. What is this? Well, for the young children. Well, it's a shelter. The Lord Jesus is a shelter from the tempest. And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind and a covet from the tempest. And I believe here the tempest is that great awful day when God shall come and rain down His wrath upon sinners. And we're told there is one lawgiver who is able to save and able to destroy. And it is this one who is a covet from this tempest, from the awful storm of God's judgment that is soon to rain down upon this sinful world. And God will do it. Remember how people mocked in the days of Noah. Remember how Noah preached for 120 years as a preacher of righteousness. And very few believed. Only 8 went into that ark. And the great deluge came. The fountains of the deep were opened up. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And God shut Noah in with his family. And the ark was shut. And God's awful tempest came down. And the floods rose until billions of bodies floated upon the crests of waves. We read how it repented God that He had made man. It grieved Him in His heart because of sin. This is what God thinks of sin, young children. This is what He thinks of my sin and your sin. The wages of sin is death. God is a holy God and He must judge sin. But God is a gracious God and He provides a hiding place. The Lord Jesus, just as He provided an ark, but people wouldn't go into the ark. And you know, many even young children despise the mention of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many young children hate Him. Hear me, it's the natural condition of the human heart to hate God. We come into this world not as lovers of God, but as haters of God, despisers of God. And until God turns your heart, you will continue to hate Him and never run to Him as your hiding place. Would God open your eyes to your sin, young people? Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And God will judge you for your sins. In the Psalm 11 and the verse 6 we read, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Young people, this is the testimony of Holy Scripture, that God will come with that awful tempest. As I read there from Revelation, people will be calling out and crying for rocks and mountains to fall. If only the rocks and if only the mountains could fall on people. The wrath of God is going to be far more furious and ferocious than rocks and mountains falling on you. For it will be a never-ending pain and perishing. If only it was annihilation. But it will not be. And we ask the question, how did the Lord Jesus Christ become a covet? Well, He became man. He became a little child Like some of you young ones here, he became a baby. God became man, sinless man. He who created the heavens, he who made the stars and the galaxies and all that is around us, became a babe. And all of his life, he came to earn a righteousness. He came under the law, Galatians 4:4, to redeem them from that law that lawbreakers like you and I have broken. And then at the end of his life, he would take the penalty of the sin of all them that believe on him, so that the wrath of God's tempest would not fall on those sinners. That is what he came to do. And he did it perfectly. In John 17, he said, "Father, I have finished the work which thou hast called me to do." He finished earning that righteousness, and there upon the cross, he breathed up his last and cried, "It is finished, tetelestai." That was his cry. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And now he becomes the covert for his people. There's that wonderful hymn by Ann Ross Cousins. "O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head! Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessing draught for me. Jehovah lifted up his rod. O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore stricken of thy God. There's not one stroke for me. Thy tears, thy blood beneath it flowed. Thy bruising healeth me. The tempest's awful sound or voice was heard. O Christ, it broke on thee. Thy open bosom was my ward. It braved the storm for me. Thy form was scarred, thy visage marred, now cloudless peace for me. And a man shall be for an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest." Now he's not the covert for all men. Most men in this world, as I said earlier, despise him. You know, we read in the Word of God that fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin. People scoff and people walk up and down this earth as if there is no God. As if this planet came into existence by chance. As if they're here by some accident. As if there is no God, and if there is a God, I'll have a word with him when I meet him. Or you won't have a word. His tempest will fall on you. But I say the Lord Jesus is the hiding place. And the sinner needs to fly to God tonight. Because the Lord may come at a moment, any moment, or we may be taken. At any moment, are we ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready? Can you stand before a holy God? Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. What is your life? It is a vapor. Young children, go to the cemetery down the road. I guarantee you, you'll find graves of old people, young people, middle-aged, every age. And our times are in his hands. They're not in our hands. who knows what a day may bring forth. And you have heard the gospel furthermore. You know that he is the hiding place for sinners, and it is obnoxious to ignore this hiding place. It is foolish to think that you could ever stand before such a God. And he will come in great fury. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said about those cities that ignored his preaching. Those cities that saw so many of his miracles and his signs and wonders. He said it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for them. And there are many in this world that will never hear the gospel. But you've heard it. I say to you, to whom much has been given, much will be required. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We need this hiding place. Good works will not save us. They cannot. Would your cry be, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Would you run to Christ tonight, dear sinner? If you're fearing tonight, I say it's a good sign, but it's not everything. The Word of God tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:14, God doeth it that men should fear. There are many that are careless sinners, and they could care less, therefore, about their sins. But if you are anxious about your soul tonight, give your soul no rest till you come to Christ, till you believe upon him, until you have found him to be your hiding place. And that's the only time you rest, when you're in that hiding place. When you're in that hiding place. You can rest then. You can rest in Christ. But you cannot rest until you're there. He will save you. And he will shelter you in that great day. He will be, will he not? Will he not be your comfort as he is to the comfort of the Christian in this life? You see, being a Christian is a wonderful thing. Not only does he help us through the trials of this life, but we know when that great awful storm of God's tempest comes upon this world and upon all the unbelieving who know not God and who obey not the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the verse 8. That's the word of God. The gospel is to be obeyed. Who know not God and obey not the gospel, God shall come with flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. Read it for yourself. But you see, the Christian has the Lord now as his shelter. And he will have Christ as his covert in that day of God's wrath. But not for you. He is now our sanctuary. Isaiah 8, the verse 4. Isaiah has already declared this, and he shall be for a sanctuary. What is a sanctuary? It is a safe haven. The fires of God's wrath will not come because they've been there. You know the old story in the Midwest where there was a fire and some people were trying to be saved from the fires around. And one wise man said, we must go where the fire's already been. It was a burnt out area. Fire could not come there because the trees had already been burnt. And you see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's wrath has already been poured because he's taken them for his people. But you say, I don't know whether I'm one of his people. I'll tell you this, all who are God's people flee to him, they run to him for refuge, and they find comfort for their souls. And moreover, God has sworn by the Lord Jesus Christ to save his people. We read that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Hebrews 6, verse 18. There's my hope. My hope is built on Jesus Christ. Where the fires of God's wrath have been. How do I know whether I'm one of God's elect? I've repented of my sins. And to repent does not mean that you're just sorry for them, but you turn. And God gives grace for the sinner to turn from his sins and to walk in God's way. That's truly what it means to repent. It's the Greek word metanoia, which means to have a change of mind, to have a change of heart, to no longer want to put a frown upon God's face, but to please him because he has done all of this for you in Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, that is salvation. And such people will not face the wrath of God. But you who are in your ignominy and your foolishness, God will come and rain down the fires of his wrath. For you have broken his laws. You have ignored and despised the mention of God's grace in the Lord Jesus. How much more will be laid upon you? But you know, there is something else. Notice here as we close. We're thinking here about the Lord Jesus. He shall be for an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place. This is how it is for the Christian in this life. When he comes to God, he finds refreshing for his soul. The Lord is all of this in this life. And we never thirst again because we have him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. He is our all in all. He has come, he has said, I am come that they may have life. He gives it all. He gives life as well as shelter. Now, dear friends, notice, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. This is who the Lord Jesus is. He is the great rock. And what do we think about rocks? Trees come and go. The rocks have been here since the earth began. They're as old as the earth. And the Lord Jesus is older than all of these things. And as a great rock, he never moves. He is our rock. We often say he's the rock of my life. Or she is the rock. But there's no greater rock than this rock. And when we come to him, we can put all of our trust in him. He is the great rock. As he is, so are we. We're settled in him. And we find our nourishment and everything in this world. He is the shadow. He is the shelter of that rock. He provides everything. Remember, the Bible says the Lord is a sun and a shield, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And this is what God bestows upon his people. But I must lastly come as I close now. I'm mindful of my time. The great need is this, because the Lord could take us at any time. And it's too late to repent once we leave this life. He needs to be our covert from the great, awful tempest of God's wrath. Where are you this night? I know you're here, but are you hiding in Jesus Christ? Are you hiding in him? Are you trusting in his blood, in his righteousness? Well, that is the only place that we can take comfort this night. How will you face that awful day? Young and old, how will you face the day of God? I know how the Christian will face it, with joy and confidence, because of this man, because this man is God. You know, it's one thing for a man to earn a right. He can't earn a righteousness. If God came into this world and earned a righteousness, is it not good enough? Is it not good enough? It is good enough. If God came into this world and died for sinners, is it not good enough? It is good enough. It's good enough for God. And if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. But moreover, we shall be changed. And we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Run to Him tonight, sinner. Give your soul no rest till you have come to this hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. What a weary world we live in. But what a great shelter the Lord Jesus is to His people. And He will prove to be that safe covert in that awful day of God's judgment. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise Thee this evening hour of worship, that Thou hast so given such a covert, Thy dear Son, where we may shelter our sinful and weary souls, where we may rest our hopes, where we may run to even this week, for even the smallest and most insignificant of our difficulties. O Lord, we thank Thee for Him. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.